It's been a while since we chatted with our friend James Rodriguez of Business Insider. You hear him on the noon show as well. James, welcome back to the evening show here on WGN. Thanks for hopping on with us today.
Thanks for having me. Glad to.
As someone who has gotten a bunch of guys together and gone and seen a college sports game and booked an Airbnb that was walkable distance from the stadium, we paid a lot of money for it. It wasn't insane, but I immediately thought, boy, this is a nice little setup people have. Is it? People that live near stadiums. This is becoming a real Airbnb phenomenon, isn't it?
It really is, and I think the takeaway is, yes, there's good money there, but as every host who I talked to told me, it's a lot of work, and a lot of work goes into those big paydays. So it was really interesting to dive into that ahead of the World Cup this summer, looking at Airbnb hosts, short-term rental hosts who are planning to hopefully get big money during the event.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that many dates, though. That's always my biggest thing with this stuff. If you live near Wrigley, and in fact, I had a condo near Wrigley, which I loved, but we were not allowed at the time, I don't know if they changed their bylaws, to make Airbnbs, which was a bummer during the World Series, because I'm sure I could have rented out my place for a lot of money and just gone stayed with my parents for a couple days instead, though I wanted to be near Wrigley during the World Series, too. I digress. But as someone who lived near a place, you know, baseball's got a lot of games in the year. You got a lot of weekends. Maybe you can make a lot of money. These one-off events, though, I mean, is it people that just happen to live there, or are people actually buying properties for this limited window of opportunity?
I think that's the interesting thing here is that I think it's more so people who already live in the area and are seeing some of these eye-popping prices that their neighbors are charging. They're thinking, oh, well, why don't I get in on that? And I think one of the interesting takeaways from talking to an economist who studies short-term rentals is that oftentimes the fans who are going to be paying that premium price, they're going to be looking for a place that has some sort of track record. So it's not really the kind of thing where you can just throw your home on the market, you know, on Airbnb or Vrbo or one of those short-term rental sites specifically for the World Cup dates and hope to get, you know, the $5,000 a night price that some people are seeing. And so I think that's the nuance there is that buying a property specifically for the World Cup might not be the most lucrative investment, but for people that already live around there, it's certainly tempting to think, you know, why shouldn't I be?
Yeah, I logged onto the app for the first time in a while. I used to use it more frequently, Airbnb. When we travel more, now we have a 10-month-old, and I just go look at the Airbnb to dream of places I could go and stay for a little while. One day, I hope. It's a lot more sleek. I mean, I've just noticed, and maybe this is just me, but I feel like people put so much more effort into making their place look flawless, designed, chic, kind of like, it's almost hotel-ish, but still with enough local charm. And that's got to be expensive, too.
It is. I talked to one woman in Kansas City, Missouri, she's just outside of Kansas City, and she and her husband invested $55,000 over the past year to make their home more appealing for short-term renters. So that meant kind of redoing the basement, purchasing all this furniture, and you know, the house looks really nice, but they are now encountering this reality of, okay, they're listing in the slow season in Kansas City, and they're really hoping to see things pick up going into the World Cup. And I think that's the interesting thing with all of this is these, you know, small time short-term rental property owners, they're really looking, you know, they're really much savvier than they were in the past. And they are looking to sort of emulate hotels, as you mentioned. And in many ways, it's never been easier to do that. We have, you know, software that advises you on pricing, and you have all of this, you know, online resources and coaching and things like that. But it does make it that landscape more competitive for anyone that's hoping to just throw their home on a short-term rental site and, you know, get a big payday.
Yeah, dive into that a little bit more. It's pretty inexpensive to tell and buy software that tells you how much you could maximize your price for a night around a specific date, right?
Yeah, this is really interesting. I mean, for $20 a month, one of the people that I was talking to, she gets dynamic pricing software to your point exactly, advises her, you know, when to raise the price, when to drop it. So originally it was advising a higher price for the World Cup dates, and it's been dropping a little bit, but she still has a goal of earning at least $2,500 per night during the World Cup dates. And yeah, that kind of software is very accessible. I talk to people that, you know, are in forums like BiggerPockets, which is like a real estate investing forum where they get a ton of advice on which software to use if they're interested in management, working with a property management company. I think, you know, talking to one short-term rental coach, her main point of emphasis to people who are hoping to dive in is really just, you know, get rid of that fantasy that you're going to just hand off the keys and then go sit on the beach. Unless you are working with a professional property management company, you do have to be on hand for all sorts of, you know, small decisions and large decisions. And you know, if, in case things go wrong, there's just, there are a lot of factors that go into essentially running a mini hotel.
Yeah. I mean, it's a job. And that's what I, from the article, that was my main takeaway is this isn't easy. You can make some money off of it. And then, of course, you have this property, which in theory is gaining value. And you're essentially having other people pay your, into your mortgage and pay your mortgage for you. Before I go, I just want to mention, and this wasn't, we weren't like this, but you get a bunch of people together to go see a sporting event for these big events. I mean, let's just be honest. This is a party for a lot of people. And that can be an issue for a lot of short-term rental properties is the damage that some people do.
Yeah, I thought it was, you know, exactly like one of the people that I talked to, the first day that she had after she had invested that $55,000 into the home, the gas caused about $1,200 in damage. And that was just like a baptism by fire, she was telling me. And yeah, I think that's the concern too, is you have, you know, potentially some rowdy fans. One of the companies that I talked to, Rent Like a Champion, is sort of a middleman for people that are listing their homes around sports stadiums, hoping to get some, some insurance and some, also some assurances that the guests staying there will be, you know, respectful of the property. And so that's where Rent Like a Champion sort of connects the two, which I thought was really interesting. But yeah, that's definitely a concern too. You have to keep that in mind.
Yeah. All right. Well, it's a really interesting read. There's a lot more in there. You talk to a lot of folks that are doing this. I know people often have the dream of doing this. So check out James Rodriguez's article. It's at Business Insider. And James, we'll chat again soon, okay?
Thanks so much. Sounds great.